Kyle Gibson gave the Cardinals what they needed on Friday. The offense very much did not. That's coming up on B-Shape Daily. What's going on, everyone, and welcome in to this edition of B-Shape Daily. Brendan Schaefer with you here. It's now the early morning hours of Saturday, April 20th, 2024. 420 blaze it, etc. It's well past midnight already on Saturday morning as we talk about the Cardinals' Friday night loss to Milwaukee. The reason for that is because I didn't leave Busch Stadium until about midnight because writing the story was difficult. Most of the action happened late, which as a sports writer generally changes what you had planned. So that's kind of what happened there. And there's a quick turnaround with the Cardinals playing at 1:15 on Saturday afternoon. So therefore, let's go ahead and get into it so I can get this posted and out for the public for as many hours as possible so they can consume it on Saturday morning. I might be wasting my time, but let me know in the comments if you're here and I didn't waste my time to stay up till 2 a.m. recording this because I need that boost on a day like this one. The Cardinals need a boost. They need a boost from a lineup that's simply refusing to give it to them right now. Kyle Gibson, ouch. At least he wasn't on the hook for the loss because of the ninth inning run that the Cardinals scored to tie the game. I think that's at least fair because Kyle Gibson did not deserve to take an L in this game. Fortunately, he didn't. Unfortunately, the only run the Cardinals scored in this one was with two outs in the ninth inning. Mason Wynn draws a walk. He's still taking some great plate appearances. A true bright spot through the darkness of the Cardinal lineup right now. And then the pinch hitters started coming. Alec Burleson bats for Jordan Walker. It was his bobblehead night, and that did not grant him superpowers to get him out of his slump. Base hit for Burleson. Mason Wynn, I thought, had half a mind to try and score from first on a routine single to center because he was off and running with the pitch. Made third easily, took a turn. Third base coach said, okay, maybe you better hold up. So Wynn making sure he doesn't make the second Cardinal out of the day at home plate. As Wilson Contreras tried to score from second base on a pass ball, dropped third strike to the screen. His brother William makes the throw. I think that was in the second inning. He was thrown out rather easily. Feels like the Cardinals may be pressing a little bit, recognizing that they're struggling to score runs. Ollie Marmol didn't think so. Didn't think that that was the case with Wilson there. Just thought he was trying to be aggressive and make a play happen and got caught up in the wrong spot with that one. But you get first and third in the ninth inning. Cardinals down 1-0. Ivan Herrera comes off the bench to bat for Victor Scott. Ivan Herrera, they didn't find a way to get him in the lineup today, but he's been one of their better hitters. And he wisely gets hit by a pitch. I think he could have tried to get out of the way of this pitch that hit him in the front shoulder, but he did his job putting that game-winning run to second base by advancing it there via the hit-by-pitch so he takes first. And then Brendan Donovan walks, ties the game. And up comes what should be the most feared hitter in your lineup, the guy batting second. But right now that's Paul Goldschmidt batting second, and he is far from the Cardinals' most feared hitter at the moment. He finishes the night 0-for-5 with a strikeout. And in that moment, he grounded out to the shortstop after I think he ran the count full. And Paul Goldschmidt is just not in his right spot right now. He's not in a spot where he's able to be a difference-making player for the Cardinals. Which is not entirely true because Paul Goldschmidt did say after the game that he is having an effect on the game right now. But it's not the kind of effect that you want to be having. I was there among the reporters at Busch Stadium Friday night who had a chance to talk with Paul Goldschmidt after the game. I don't believe the Bally Sports Midwest cameras were there because this was later in the night. So you might read these quotes elsewhere. I don't know if you'll hear them elsewhere. Here's Cardinals first baseman Paul Goldschmidt. There'll be a question. You'll hear from John Denton to begin this clip, and then Goldie answering that question and talking about where he is right now, the struggles, and the sort of effect that he's having on the game, and it's a bit of a heavy quote.
Paul only said that part of your frustration he senses is that when you go, the whole offense kind of goes. Do you feel that? Like, do you have an effect on others in the lineup when you get hot?
Well, I think first and foremost is, you know, take responsibility for how I played, and it hasn't been good. So it's, you know, night like tonight where you have a chance to win the game. I mean, that's obviously in the moment frustrating, but can't let that carry over to the next day and stuff like that. So I haven't. I just haven't performed well at all, and we'll just show up tomorrow and try to play well. And I mean, we all want to play well. We all want to help us win. But yeah, I mean, when you're hitting the top or middle of the order, I mean, you can have an effect, a big effect on the game. So I have had an effect. It's just been a negative one from an offensive standpoint so far this year. So I mean, no one hates it as much as me. I just, you know, yeah, I don't like it, and we'll just continue to work and do everything I can to try to make the necessary adjustments.
And there you heard Cardinals first baseman Paul Goldschmidt after Friday's 2-1 loss to the Brewers in extra innings. I don't know if I said that off the top, but that was the final score. And you heard that quote. I said it was a bit of a heavy quote because Paul Goldschmidt is the type of guy that's going to fall on the sword. And I don't think it's disingenuous. I really do think he wears it when he struggles. And this is a period in his career that I don't know if he's ever struggled this bad for this length of time. It's not that the season's over, you're 20 games in, but now it's basically an eighth of the season is done. And Goldschmidt's sitting with a 169 batting average and a 483 OPS. And did not come through tonight when the Cardinals needed him in the ninth inning. Had the ground out to shortstop to end the threat. You had the winning run there 90 feet away after Kyle Gibson. Gibby pitched really well. He got great results. I mean, six innings, one run for Gibby. Walked four. Said after the game he didn't feel like his delivery was meshing, was comfortable with it. Just sometimes that happens, and you have to find a way to grit through and keep your team in the ballgame, which is what Kyle Gibson did. But you heard Goldie there say, we all want to help us win, but when you're hitting at the top or the middle of the order, you can have a big effect on the game. I have had an effect. It's just been a negative one from an offensive perspective so far this year. If I wasn't knowing any better, I would have thought that was just Paul Goldschmidt doing stand-up almost, like self-deprecating. Yeah, I have had an effect on the team, just like a bad one. It was, you know, he's brutally honest when it comes to his shortcomings. Paul Goldschmidt goes 4-for-5 with 2 home runs. He won't want to talk to us. He won't want to say a damn word to the media. But that is something that you cannot possibly look sideways about when it comes to Paul Goldschmidt. Like, he's going to own it when he's struggling. And this dude is struggling right now, but he was there to face the music. And you heard, he talked for 5-6 minutes, whatever it was, but I thought that quote was the one worth playing. There's one other that fans might would want to hear. I won't play it. It was just short. I'll tell you what it said, though, and I think it's, you know, going to be notable to some people. Was asked if he cared where he hit in the batting order, and he said he didn't care. He's always told managers he'll do whatever he needs to do, whatever they want to do. And I think he means it. Paul Goldschmidt is not an ego guy. I know there are some Cardinals fans that have said they need to move him down in the order. I don't think Paul Goldschmidt would have a problem with it. I really don't. And I do wonder if the struggles that we see from the Cardinals in this particular game on Friday night end up leading to some sort of change. I don't know whether that's batting order change. I think that would probably be where you start. And I've said on this show, on other shows, I don't necessarily think lineup construction is the end-all be-all to fix it, but you might as well throw something at the wall and see if it sticks. Like, I think you're at that point. You don't want to just be moving guys around just to be doing it, because that can maybe give the wrong impression that you're panicking about the way things are going. But I don't think it's time to not be concerned about the way things are going for this Cardinal offense, right? They're 25th in OPS across Major League Baseball, and they are 25th in runs scored. That's as of the conclusion of the game. Now, it's a few hours later, if there was a West Coast game that ended and changed that, whatever. I'm not going to look it up. I don't have time. But it's bad, man. You're talking like 5th from the bottom, 6th from the bottom in Major League Baseball, and basically the key offensive stats that you're going to look at. OPS, that's a good one. Run scored, yeah, that matters. And the Cardinals, they're struggling mightily in those areas right now. And I say it could lead to a change, and the reason I think batting order is maybe the first thing to try is because the Cardinals are coming up to a real crux of this roster construction that I talked about with Josh Jacobs of Dealing the Cards podcast earlier on Friday, which is something that you've already been able to view on YouTube. I'm going to throw it on the Spotify feed for B-Shafe Daily as well. If you're a follower of B-Shafe Daily on the podcast feed, I'll put it on there. I know it probably won't get a ton of listens because the Cardinals play a game in 12 hours and y'all might not even be listening to this one. But go back and check it out. That's going to be an evergreen segment that I did with Josh Jacobs that I think you can listen to later on in the weekend, even though if we're saying the team is 9-10, they're obviously going to have a different record by the time you hear it. But I talked with Josh about this topic because I think it's very central to maybe the decision-making the Cardinals are going to have to be doing right now behind the scenes. And we'll talk about Nolan Gorman too. I put him on the cover to this video. He really struggled, I would say even more so than Goldschmidt did on Friday night, because he also went 0-for-5, but he had 4 strikeouts, and he stranded the bases loaded in the 6th inning with a strikeout and was the man standing at the dish when the game ended in the 10th. Had the tying run at 3rd in the 10th inning, the winning run at 2nd, and he stood there looking at strike 3. 0-for-5, golden sombrero, 4 Ks. Just tough right now for Nolan Gorman, who sees his OPS drop below 600 as well. And there hasn't been a ton of power. He's at least got the 3 homers, I think it is, but not a ton of power. Goldie hasn't homered since opening day. Hasn't had an extra base hit since opening day. And, like, those are the central reasons for the Cardinals' struggles offensively. Arenado's turned it around. He's still not hitting for a lot of power, and that is a concern. But Arenado's hitting 300 after this game. Like, that's his batting average, 300. You wouldn't believe it if you didn't look it up, but it's true. 724 OPS, like, okay, that's below what you need, but the power's got to come back. He's got one homer, but he's at least, like, he's looking okay at the plate. But Goldschmidt, really struggling. I mean, his OPS right now is half of what it was, not even half of what it was, I think, the year he won MVP. That's 2 years ago. It's not that long ago. 18 months ago, whatever that would be. Gorman is really struggling. Those are two guys in the middle of the order that need to be producing. They just do. It's not that they're not trying to produce, but it's not happening right now, and the Cardinals are losing games because of it. Jordan Walker was pinch hit for again tonight, and it was the right decision. Alec Burleson swinging a good bat. He probably needs to be in the lineup tomorrow. Jordan Walker's bobblehead night was tonight. He's struggling. But it's not as incumbent upon him because he's not batting 2nd. He's not batting 5th or 6th. He's typically lower in the lineup. Gorman, it's year 3 for him. The Cardinals need him. Ali Marmol said tonight, we need this guy. We need him to get going because the power potential of Nolan Gorman is substantial. And to do what we want to do, we're going to have Nolan Gorman on the bus. It goes without saying that the Cardinals need Paul Goldschmidt. They need him to be right. And right now, he couldn't be further from that. Now, he said, us players, we look at this differently than you guys do external. We don't look at what happened last night or last week or 2 weeks ago, or it's just every single day go out and try and execute. And yes, I think during a time where things are going better, maybe he wouldn't admit this, that there's momentum from day to day. But he's right because he's the one doing the job at a very high level throughout his career. And I think it stands to reason, too, that you can't rest on your laurels because you had a great day yesterday. That's not going to help you in the batter's box tomorrow. And I think from that mindset comes his standpoint of, look, if last night sucked, which when he gets to the ballpark Saturday, he would be able to say last night sucked, but that doesn't have an impact on what I do in my first at bat today. And maybe we'll see if Goldie's even in the lineup on Saturday. It's tough, man, because I think you almost have to keep him in there. I understand people saying drop him in the lineup, and I'm to the point where, like, I'd be like, yeah, that's fine. And I know I said just earlier Friday, I said I didn't think before May 1st that would be something that you'd even bother with. But hearing him say, yeah, I don't really care. It doesn't matter to me. Why not? Why not give it a try? If you're the manager, you don't want to look like the guy that's panicking and that's kind of giving credence to the struggles. Because if you continue to say every night, we know we're not hitting, but we're going to get there, we're going to turn it around, then if you're starting to tinker with the lineup construction a bunch, does that then send the wrong signal? I don't know. It probably doesn't really matter. But I think at this point, yeah, I'd be willing to see Ollie move Goldie down. I don't think it's something that you got to do, but I think it's something that you could do. And especially because I think with him, it's not going to matter. If this was Arenado OPSing 483, which is what Goldie's OPS is, it might be different. Because Arenado has talked about, well, he's comfortable batting cleanup. He wants to, that doesn't mean you can't move him, but Goldie really doesn't care. I just don't think there's any sort of comfort factor, discomfort, whatever. Lead him off, bat him seventh. I don't think he'll care. I really don't. I don't think there's a disingenuous bone in his body about this topic. I just don't. I think he'd be fine with it. And I think there'd be Cardinals fans who would be fine with seeing that play out. But the topic that I intended to get into before I went 6 minutes of emo talk about the Cardinal offense as it pertains to Goldie and Gorman is that those guys are the central figures that have got to get it going. And I feel like their struggles right now, because again, Goldie, bases loaded, didn't come through. Gorman had bases loaded in the sixth, struck out on Freddie Peralta's 100th pitch of the night when he was wearing down, was feeding him fastballs. Gorman just couldn't square one up, and then he swung at one at the eyes, or maybe at the letters. The eyes is probably not a fair way to describe it, but swung through that one to end the game, but end the sixth inning and end the night for Freddie Peralta, who was dealing 7 strikeouts, 6 innings, scoreless. But the Cardinals, that was their one real chance to get to him. He didn't give up. He gave up 3 base runners in the first 5 innings, and then Peralta gave up 3 base runners there in the sixth. Gorman had his crack at it and struck out. And then the strikeout to end the game, there was runners on second and third. So that's 5 runners in scoring. Well, 4 runners in scoring position with 2 outs. He strikes out to end both of them. I think he left 7 men on base in total. The Cardinals overall left 12 on, 0-for-6 with runners in scoring position, and a lot of those ABs coming late in the game. But I think what's interesting is these guys are struggling, and they're the core of the lineup. Arenado's bouncing back a little bit. But with the core of your lineup struggling, the thing that you fix is not necessarily, well, we're going to send Paul Goldschmidt down. We're going to demote Gorman. We're going to sit these guys. Because I think you almost have to have them in there, especially Goldie. Because if Goldie is just this now, like the Cardinals are, they're boned a little bit. I don't think he's this now. I think he's had bad Aprils before. I think this is worse than any of those. And the aging probably contributes to that. Like 2021 was bad, but it was like 597 OPS bad, 28 Ks in a month bad. This is, you know, he's OPSing 480. So it's another level to that. Now he could come out with a 3-for-4 one of these days and hit a homer and a double, and suddenly your OPS is pushing 600 again. It wouldn't take long. But we don't see any signs of that about to happen. And the only way to get to that point where it is happening is to play him. I get you could say, well, throw Burleson at first base, and you might legitimately have a better chance on Saturday, April 20th, for Alec Burleson to contribute to a win than Goldschmidt. But I also think the longer Goldschmidt takes to get it going, the worse off the Cardinals are going to be for the long run of the 2024 season. So that's my thought process on still playing him, unless Ollie has an evaluation and the coaching staff has an evaluation where they say he looks physically like he needs the day, but they just took the day off Thursday. So I would probably have Goldschmidt back in the lineup on Saturday. I don't know where he should bat. I don't care. I think we probably play too much into it, but like I said, I understand if you want to make a move there. But the move that feels like it could get made, I don't know that it's going to be made today or tomorrow, but at some point, is the conversation surrounding center field. Because Victor Scott is still not hitting and had a lot of ABs today, a few ABs that ended quickly, like first or second pitch, ground out, whatever it was, and then had a strikeout that he did work the count. It was a full count. It was a good plate appearance until he swings through the last pitch. He's hitting 0.85 with a 2.74 OPS. I know what I've said about Victor Scott. I stand by that the Cardinals should have given him this chance, and they did so. The offense is the offense at this point. But it is even more of a glaring issue for Victor that he's struggling the way that he is because of the guys more prominent in the lineup not doing their jobs. Walker, 5.16 OPS, hitting 170. Gorman hitting 178, 5.83 OPS. Goldschmidt hitting 169, 4.83 OPS. Don't look now, but a little bit lesser on the Brendan Donovan train of late. He's down to a 2.22 average and a 7.34 OPS. He struggled even too. Arenado's sitting around 700 OPS. Contreras is still balling other than the base running mistake. He went 1-for-2 and he walked 3 times. Mason Wynn still balling, 1-for-3, walked and scored that run in the ninth. Walker went 0 for 3, 2 Ks. Like, Victor Scott wasn't supposed to be here. I think they put him here because they wanted to stick to the structure of what they wanted the outfield to be, and that's strong defensively. So they had Victor Scott in the Edmund role, which really had not been established formally, but they put it together in their minds in the offseason. They got Brandon Crawford because it was so important to have a good defensive, rangy center fielder. Maybe not as much on the throwing arm, but to be able to track down balls in the gap, to track down balls in front of you, to track down balls over your head. You're going to save your pitching staff runs, save them long innings, and do all those things that matter. These things matter, and the Cardinals prioritize them. I give them credit for doing that. But they're in a spot now where I think they may ultimately reconsider, not because they want to, but because they may feel that they have to. And it's not going to be because Victor Scott's hitting 085. That's a problem. It's not as big of a problem as what you're not getting from Goldie, Gorman, and I'll throw Walker into that group as well. That's really the cause, because if those guys were even at league average, not, I'm not even saying average to what they're capable of, but just league average, 100 OPS for each of them. Cardinals are not, they're not 9-11. They're probably 11-9 or 12-8, because that's just how rough it's been for the three of those guys. Goldie bats second. Gorman tonight was moved down a little lower in the lineup at 6, and that's pretty standard now that Newt has returned. And Jordan Walker was all the way down at 8, and he struggled as well. But when you look at his numbers last year, you hope that, Jordan can come along and can provide something close to what he did last year. He was supposed to take a step forward this year. It just hasn't happened. It's still early, but it's a problem. I mean, they're struggling, and he's one of the guys that's struggling. But could this end up being a case where the struggles of the more prominent guys that you're supposed to be relying on are going to force the Cardinals into a move where they do the thing they don't want to do, which is put Lars Nootbaar in center field, and Victor Scott presumably either gets sent down or gets benched. And for me, if he's on the roster, he needs to play. If you decide you can't play Victor Scott but every 3 or 4 days, then he needs to be sent down. That's the part where you can start to harm his development, because he's not playing. If he's playing, I'm not going to buy into that you're harming his development. Even if he's getting worked out there, he's at least playing. That's something. And then if and when, I'm not even going to say if, when, he is going to go to Memphis at some point when you get guys back healthy. They may not wait that long because of the struggles of the offense at large, but it's going to be more about the other guys than it is about Victor. Because I think Ollie Marmol would love to see Victor Scott just have a chance to play through some of these things. Now, if that's true, keep him in the lineup. I get it. You like Ciani too. Michael Ciani, I don't think, has the future upside that Victor does. And if he does, and we're just not giving him credit for it, then we're the ones that's wrong, and that's not fair. But with the way this is constructed, I think it's got to be Victor, or he's got to be playing center field every day for the Memphis Redbirds. You can't afford to necessarily, I mean, they start Ciani, and then they'll pinch hit for him, and then Victor comes in for defense, and then he gets pinch hit for. They're not really using the bench efficiently. I understand why you'd want to do it. I'm referring to, I think it was game 3 in Oakland that they did that. Victor did start on Friday night, but again, he's pulled early because you need to take a late AB, which was the right call as well. Herrera was able to at least get hit by the pitch. He didn't move a muscle. Like I said, I think he could have gotten out of the way of that pitch in the ninth inning. Didn't even try, nor should he have. But we'll see. I think that could be the next step of it, that the Cardinals go, we would love to have this defensive priority, but we could lose the season in front of our very eyes if we don't get some runs. And since the guys that are supposed to be doing it are having a hard time right now, we're going to add an extra bat. We're going to make sure that Herrera does get in there by putting Newton center, Donovan left, Jordan Walker in right. Or it could be Burleson gets in there as the DH, and that's in lieu of Victor Scott in the batting order. The defensive alignment will change the way it needs to, but that's kind of the way the decision would go. And if they did want to send him down, I don't really even know who they would recall, because then you could use another guy on your bench. But I think Victor Scott needs to be playing. I think it's a bit of a shame. Well, it's a bit of a shame that he's struggling the way that he is, but because it would have worked out really nicely if they could just get an 80, 85 OPS plus center fielder out of Victor Scott, then I think they'd be cruising. They'd be happy with the production. But he's got like a negative weighted runs created plus at this point. It's just not working out offensively. But you notice it a lot more because the guys who should be working out offensively are also not doing so. I was told by one of the reporters who was at the pregame talk with Ollie Marmol. I was not there because I was doing my radio show for KTGR from 4 to 6, which, man, did that suck today because Theo Vaughn was apparently at batting practice, and I would have had a chance to try and get his ear and say, hey, dude, Theo Vaughn, famous comedian, have you ever seen Sonny Gray, and do you realize that you guys kind of look the same, and to me, you certainly talk the same, and you, I even think the mannerisms are a little bit the same. If anybody's a fan of Theo Vaughn and has seen some Sonny Gray press conferences, tell me those guys don't, tell me there's not something going on there where they're like at least a very similar vibe, if nothing else, into the way that their speech pattern and delivery almost, where Sonny Gray in these interviews will be introspective and he'll be really thinking through what he's trying to say and articulating in a way that really lets you into his thoughts. I feel like Theo Vaughn kind of does that too. If you don't know who I'm talking about, then I'm sorry, but let me know in the comments below if you've seen this. I want to take the time and do some side-by-side videos of the two so that people can see what I'm talking about. I just don't have the frickin' time. So if anybody out there wants to do that work for me, I think I'll certainly share it on Twitter because I think it's real. And in a complimentary way, by the way, I think Theo Vaughn's very funny. I think Sonny Gray is a great dude who, like, he's introspective. He'll tell you what he thinks. He just has a manner of speaking that just almost like a vocal intonation that strikes me as being very similar to if you watch Theo Vaughn on podcast or whatever. And after I saw the Sonny Gray introductory press conference with the Cardinals, and I really did this, I sent a DM on Instagram to Theo Vaughn and said, you need to get Sonny Gray on your podcast because you guys would have a ball. I don't think he responded to it. I probably didn't even see it, but I thought I just couldn't unsee it, couldn't unhear it. Anyway, nobody cares, so I'll move on. But what I was going to say from pregame, after talking to one of the reporters who was there, kind of the line of questioning of asking Ollie Marmol about, you know, avoiding putting Lars Nootbaar in center field, what would it take to get there? And I believe his response was that he's not there yet. He's not there to the point where they feel like they need to sacrifice or have the perception of sacrificing defense, because I think technically Lars is a negative one defensive run saved in center field, whereas Victor Scott is a minus two. But also that minus two probably comes from Victor just dropping a fly ball in center field that did cost the Cardinals the day that it happened. But that probably skews the metric. He's been largely pretty good to my eyes other than that. So I don't really know. It's small sample size, fun with samples when it comes to defensive metrics. But the perception that putting Newt in center, because what you're also losing is when you put Newt in center, you downgrade from Victor Scott to Newt in center. That's one part of it. But you also, in theory, downgrade from Nootbaar in a corner outfield spot to whoever fills that spot, whether it's Donovan, who I think is about average as a left fielder. He's very good to be able to do what he does both on the infield and on the outfield and be so versatile, but I don't think he's a great left fielder. I think he's passable. Jordan Walker is probably going to be in the lineup, but for as much as I do think he's improved, he's still probably a work in progress defensively, although the metrics seem to like him, and I think that's fair. I think he's done a much, much better job with range and all of those factors with what he's been able to do in right field so far this season. But you're looking at an outfield then that's either going to be Donovan or Burleson in left with Nootbaar in center and Walker in right. So you're basically getting worse at the two non-Walker spots. Slight decline maybe in both spots, but I think that's notable enough considering you've got Miles Michaelis, you've got Kyle Gibson, you've got these guys that pitch to contact. You've got Pallante in your bullpen that pitches to contact. That's more about infield defense with him. But I do believe that, especially in a pretty spacious Busch Stadium outfield where homers go to die but can sometimes turn into doubles if you don't have the right guys out there defensively, it would be a sacrifice for the Cardinals to make that move, decommit from the defensive priority, and then say we're gonna shoot for offense by moving Nootbaar to center field where they don't really want him. I think he could be average at best in center, but I just don't think it's quite as attractive as having him in the corner spot, one of the two. And by the way, Brendan Donovan, speaking of Busch Stadium screwing people, he had a ball hit to right center field tonight that Matt Pauly told me would have been a homer in nine ballparks, and I said probably more than that, though, when you consider the distance traveled of the baseball is cut down by the jet stream and the issues, which has been the case since they built the Ballpark Village mega condos or whatever it is, which I think is real. I think that probably has had an impact. I haven't done the data or the study, or it's out there, I don't know, but I do feel like off the bat, and even Goldschmidt mentioned, I think it was Goldie, either Goldie or Gibson, that's who I talked to post game, was part of those two scrums. I think it was Goldschmidt, the more that I think about it. But they thought off the bat that that was going to be a home run for Brent Donovan, and so did I from up in the press box, and it just died at the warning track. It happens a lot at Busch Stadium. He got bushed. It happens. But the overall tenor of what I'm getting to here is 0 for 10 for Goldie and Gorman, 5 strikeouts, basically 8 left on base, scattered across 3 very key at-bats in the 6th, 9th, and 10th inning. Bases loaded, runners on second and third, 2 outs in all the cases. They don't come through in any of them. That is a... Ollie Marmol said he wasn't there yet. I was told. I wasn't there, but I was told that they weren't quite there yet with when it comes to moving Newt to center field to start a game and to try and gun for offense. I don't know, man. If that night on Friday doesn't get you there, I'm not sure that there's anything that will, short of just waiting for Carlson and Edmund to come back, or one of the two to come back, or just maybe having to have nights like Friday multiple times before you go, okay, enough. Which, again, it's not Victor's fault. I'm not saying doing it would be the right move or the wrong move. I just think a night like Friday can make you reevaluate. And it can be dangerous because prioritizing defense is a noble goal for this Cardinal team with the way they're built on the pitching side. But you do have to score runs. And Vic isn't cutting it at the plate. But it's like your 9-hole guy not hitting shouldn't be as big of an issue, and it wouldn't be if your middle order guys are hitting. So removing Vic from that mixture may put another capable threat into the 9 spot, but it's not magically going to cure Goldie and Gorman and Walker, and that's the real problem. And they know that. I'm not telling you guys anything that isn't known by the players in that clubhouse. And Goldie, if you heard the quote earlier, feels like garbage about it. But it's not really, you know, how many games they win does not correlate to how badly they feel about performing poorly. And it's just an unfortunate nature of this moment for this Cardinal team that there are so many guys who are so capable that are struggling at the same time. I continue to say on paper I like this lineup, but I don't like it when I look up and see who I would consider 3 of the 5 most prominent hitters in the lineup. I would even put Jordan Walker on the tail end of that. Maybe you'd say he's 6th if you're going to say Brendan Donovan would be 1 of the 5. But certainly in that top 6 coming into the year, and to see half of that group really, really struggling right now is difficult. It's going to be hard to win games that way, which I think the Cardinals are for sure aware of. And it sucks especially, too, because coming into tonight, they had good numbers. Some of the key guys we're talking about especially had good numbers against Freddy Peralta. Wilson had a 931 OPS, which he had a great game, so it doesn't really apply there. Arenado had a 1269 OPS with 4 homers and 25 ABs, and he had a hit, but just one. Goldie, 1157 OPS, 2 homers and 24 ABs, and he ends up really not being able to come through. So it's just a matter of, and Gorman was like 1-for-4 against him. So that's not too applicable. But yeah, I mean, the Cardinals are in the spot that they're in because of the offense. They can make moves to try and go for more offense, but does it sacrifice the thing that has kept the pitching afloat? The pitching is pretty good. ERA 4.06 for the starters. That ranks 16th in baseball. I know it's not amazing, but that's about what I said it would be. Middle of the pack. They're doing their job. You might not like that. You might not like the way that they were built. You might think they should have been built to not be middle of the road. I would say it's a fair argument, but that's what they did. So that's where they're at. Bullpen, 8th in baseball in ERA. Pretty good. Pretty good. None of it works if this offense is not top 10, and they're not even top 15, top 20. They are 25th. And runs, and 25th in OPS. So there you go. I was going to get into a little bit of the minor league talk tonight. I just frankly got to go to bed. It's past 2 a.m., but I'll rattle off my bullet points. I'm not going to be able to dig deep into them, but you can go look for yourselves at some of these numbers. Jose Fermin is raking in Memphis. I don't know if that's a move, maybe, if you were to send down Vic, if you have enough outfield coverage to be able to do it and you just want the bat. Like, I never thought I would be saying, well, you need Jose Fermin's bat up here. But maybe you do. I don't know. He's been crushing it in Memphis. Good for him. Genuinely, good for him. And maybe it gets him an opportunity. Brandon Crawford, I could see the other side of that too, going, is Brandon Crawford bringing a lot? If Fermin was going to do that, couldn't you have just had him be the backup shortstop? I don't know. I don't have enough time to think about that. But I know Cardinals fans are going to be saying it in the comments So I cut you off at the pass. Holy crap, Sam Roberson. Like, what? 8 innings, 9 strikeouts, 1 hit allowed, no runs, 2 walks. Sam Roberson had a great night for Memphis. Anytime you see a guy throwing 8 innings, that is noticeable. And that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm noticing that Roberson, like, if he can just, that's what the Cardinals need. They need one of these dudes, whether they got him at the deadline. I think Tekoa Robey had a nice night as well. I didn't look at his final line, but you can find it somewhere for Springfield, I think it was. They need one of these dudes to just be like a solid number three in the rotation at the big league level. Just come out of nowhere and be good. Like, what if it is Sam Roberson? What if he's just good? What if he could just be like a, you know, 3.9 ERA in the big leagues, striking out a guy per inning? I'm not saying he's going to, but what if? The Cardinals just need, I say, one of those kind of guys to fall into their lap, but really what they need is one of the guys that they already have to magically become that at the major league level. The development part to just freaking happen. That's not great analysis. They just need it to happen for one of these guys. Wanted to mention Quinn Matthews as well. He's still in low A, which is a little bit, I question, because he's like 22, 23 years old, whatever he is. But he's striking out the world while also walking the other half of the world. But Quinn Matthews, I don't care about the walks when you're that early on in your progression. Get him up to high A, get him to Peoria would be my thought for the Cardinals. And I think it could probably happen soon. But I think he had like 8 strikeouts and 3 2/3 or something. Just really, really high K rate tonight. Quinn Matthews, I want to say he's the kid who in college had the complete game that was like 156 pitches, complete game, 16 strikeouts for Stanford or whatever Pac-12 school he went to. This is going off the rails at the end, but it's seriously, it is past 2 a.m. So I just wanted to get through these bullet points and be done. The last bullet point that I had was in my notes here, was not about a minor leaguer, but was a play that some point in the middle of the game, Jordan Walker tried to sell a diving catch that he had to the umpires. Like, he just kind of laid there after catching it. And he really should have popped back up and tried to throw that guy out at second base, because there is replay review, and whether you caught it or didn't catch it, that'll all be determined later. Play through. Hopefully that was one where he gets back into the dugout and Willie McGee or whoever is like, hey, Jordan, that's one you just, my man, you got to pop up and try and make that throw to second, because he has a great arm. He would have gotten him easily had he not just kind of stayed there for an extra beat, laying to try to almost sell, like, see, it's in my glove, even though it looked in real time like a trap, and it was, or hit the ground, and then it kind of snares it in his glove. That was just a random note that I had at the end of this. My notes were a little discombobulated tonight, but you know what? So is the Cardinals offense, so I think it fits. That's going to do it for this edition of the show. I appreciate you guys for listening, for joining me. Gosh, it's almost 40 minutes anyway. Thank you guys for joining. Hit subscribe on YouTube. Kind of do a better job of asking for subscriptions if you haven't already done it. Some of y'all are watching and not subscribed. Just hit that subscribe button. I'm almost to 3K, and it'll boost my self-esteem when I get there. Follow B-Shafe Daily as well on Spotify. We'll be putting a bunch more content besides B-Shafe Daily on these feeds as well. And there might be something really exciting coming soon for listeners on Spotify if you don't like listening to ads during the podcast. There may be. I'm not for sure that I'm going to be able to pull this off, but if you want to know what that is, beg me in the comments to tell you, and I will here before too long. That's going to do it for this edition of the show. We will talk to you next time on B-Shafe Daily. Peace!